claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Let me just observe that given a certain degree of speculation about Revolution Radio and myself, that I tend to be a creature of habit. I've been here quite a while, and I like Revolution Radio. And while I admire what my friends are doing, including Dave Gaharian helping to found this Speak Free venue. And while Giuseppe and Scorpio are moving there with many other very good people whom I admire greatly, my disposition, my inclination is, at least for the time being, to stand pat that I like Revolution Radio. And I'm not really eager to shift ground. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful outlet we have here. And if I, you know, should I change my mind, I'll certainly let you know. But at least for the time being, I expect to remain here at Revolution Radio. I like the time slot. I like the people. I have a fabulous producer. Mitchell is just terrific, and I like the audience and the whole ambience. So for the time being, at the very least, you just, if I were a betting man, I would say it's not going to happen, at least not going to happen anytime soon. Let me give some updates on what's going on in the world. Trump shows 2,000 mules trailer at his Ohio rally. This is pretty damn good stuff, and of course it vindicates him completely vis-a-vis the election of 2020. Filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza has a new documentary called 2,000 Mules, revealing a large-scale network of ballot harvesters in several swing states during the 2020 election. And last weekend, former President Trump played the trailer for 2,000 Mules at his rally in Ohio. D'Souza's documentary delves into the results of a multi-year investigation conducted by the election integrity group True the Vote. Using 4 million minutes of ballot drop box surveillance footage, 4 million minutes, and cell phone GPS geotracking data, True the Vote was able to identify and track hundreds of mules who made multiple trips to drop boxes around their state to dump in oodles of ballots. Oodles. In Atlanta, for example, they identified 242 mules that, on average, were dumping ballots into 24 different drop boxes in Philadelphia. True the Vote was able to identify over 1,100 mules in the trailer. True the Vote founder Catherine Engelbrecht tells D'Souza that True the Vote worked with a man named Greg Phillips, who was whom Engelbrecht described as having a deep background in election intelligence. Greg described the surveillance footage compiled by True the Vote as the largest store of election intelligence of the 2020 elections in the world. I have the trailer here. It's just a few minutes I want to play it so you get the flavor of it, even though you can't see it. It's available online. Here we go.
We put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
That's, of course, Biden. Stating the truth unintentionally.
The 2020 election was the most secure
election in American history.
Let me begin by asking a very simple question. Do we know the truth about what really happened in the 2020 election?
I think millions of Americans know something went wrong, and they have little pieces, and no one's really put it together.
I'm agnostic on this question, and I am awaiting more information.
If I believed the president were a Nazi, I might steal an election.
Bold accusations require bold evidence, and they haven't seen it.
We have been working on something big.
Show me the money.
Can we meet? I've been working with Greg Gillis. He has a deep background in election intelligence.
True the Vote has the largest store of election intelligence for the 2020 elections in the world. No one has more data than we do. We identified in Atlanta 242 mules that went to an average of 24 drop boxes. But Philadelphia alone, we've identified more than 1,100 mules.
What is a mule?
Person picking up ballots and running them to the drop boxes.
This is not grandma out walking her dog. Bad background, bad reputation. They are interested in one thing, that's money.
And in no shape, in no way, in no time, is that legal.
This is organized crime.
Do you have video evidence?
4 million minutes of surveillance video around the country.
What you're about to see is disturbing.
So this is 1 o'clock in the morning.
Don't we all vote at 1 o'clock in the morning?
So one night, this person, this mule, went across six counties to 27 different drop boxes.
I call it the Mexican Mafia, seriously, because they work like that.
This is jaw-dropping. What you showed is frightening.
It's just sickening to me. Now we come to the most important question of all. Was the magnitude of vote trafficking enough to tip the balance in the 2020 presidential election?
It's not a leap to say this would have made a difference.
They have ruined Election Day in the United States of America. That's provable. And that's enough for me to fight the left with every fiber in my body.
Without free and fair elections, we are not a democracy. We are a criminal cartel masquerading as a democracy.
2,000 mules coming to your theaters. And it's going to be on television, too. Your quote again.
Extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
I think he got it right. I think Joe Biden got it exactly right when he said what many assumed was just one of his many verbal gaffes, that they put together the greatest voter fraud operation in the history of the United States. Take his word for it. That's exactly what happened. Meanwhile, New York Court of Appeals has thrown a spanner in the works for Democrats who are trying to gerrymander their way in New York to an advantage. This is a positive development. Justice exposing the massive fraud of the 2020 election. So what are we going to hear from the Democrat leaders, from the Nancy Pelosi's and the Chuck Schumer's and the others, who've been lying their faces off and telling us about how this was the cleanest election in American history when we all know it was absurd on its face. He had a guy who spent most of his time in a basement. They wouldn't even let him out in public. He was prone to gaffes. He's cognitively incompetent. He makes a pathetic impression. He couldn't draw a crowd. Indeed, just days before the election in Phoenix, there was a joint appearance at Kamala Harris with Joe Biden, and guess how many turned out? Zero. Zero. Fewer than the fingers of one hand. So why would anyone, you know, other than a shill, a phony, a liar, a fake, a fraud, which covers virtually every prominent Democrat in the United States, want to promote such a fantasy? Well, of course, the reasons are obvious, and the apprehension is they're going to do it all over again, even in the midterms. They're not showing a lot of concern about what's going on as we approach the midterms, even though the evidence is overwhelmingly indicating that the Democrat Party isn't simply going to be overwhelmed. It is going to be slaughtered, annihilated, demolished, and deservedly so. Hence, what else are they doing? Well, in New York, Democrats have been dealt a blow in the Empire State as the highest court, the New York Court of Appeals, concluded the Democrats had unconstitutionally gerrymandered their latest proposed congressional map, which was signed by Democrat Governor Kathy Hochul, who is just some piece of work. She is a witch. Chief Judge Jant DeFlore wrote, based on the foregoing, the enactment of the congressional and Senate maps by the legislature was procedurally unconstitutional. And the congressional map is also substantively unconstitutional as drawn with impermissible partisan purpose, leaving the state without constitutional district lines for use in the 2022 primary and general elections. New York's redistricting commission, which has an equal number of Republicans and Democrats, were unable to agree on a new congressional map. This is the first redistricting since 2014, when New York voters amended the state constitution to include a bipartisan redistricting commission. Governor Hochul approved maps that were proposed by the Democrat-controlled legislature, and even some on her own side have called her out for approving an unconstitutional redistricting map. New York Republican Party chair praised the move by the New York Court of Appeals and took to Twitter to celebrate what he called the defeat of the Holuckmander. The Holuckmander has officially been defeated. Even the partisan-appointed Democrat judges couldn't swallow how filthy this gerrymander was, Langworthy said. A Democrat, hoping to replace Hochul for governor, Representative Tom Suozzi, called Hochul's leadership a dysfunctional government. That's what we have from the Democrats all over the country. Whether it's the state of Washington, the state of Oregon, the state of California, the District of Columbia, the state of New York, the state of Michigan, everywhere you have Democrats in control, the states are suffering massively, massively. It's absolutely unprecedented in American history for the American people to be suffering so massively under these Democrat, dysfunctional Democrat governors and leadership. It's outrageous. Another failure for New York's dysfunctional government and Kathy Hochul. She's not the leader New Yorkers need and deserves, as Suozzi tweeted. New York Democrat Party Chair Jay Jacobs downplayed the court ruling, of course, and said he remains confident that confident in Democrat victories up and down the ballot this November. Man, the guy is totally deluded. While certain district lines may change, what does not change is our party's record of results, which contrasts clearly with the Republican Party's radical agenda to drag the state back. Think about that. This Democrat is saying it's a Republican Party that has a radical agenda in claiming it's the Democrats who have a record of results. Well, the results that Democrats have been destructive, negative. Opening the borders to mass migration, making us no longer energy independent, supply problems. You know, they're bringing these young men across the border and they're putting in the military, which has been eviscerated by the vax. So everyone who was a good American soldier is being chased out or vaccinated, which is going to incapacitate them physically. And they're just as I had explained was going to happen. They're bringing in all these migrants and they're going to give them citizenship, put them in U.S. uniforms, confident they would be willing to fire on the American people as American soldiers would not. It's that bad. New York's highest court said it would be likely be necessary for the state primaries to be moved to a later date, originally scheduled for June 28th, likely held in August, because the candidates didn't have enough time to prepare their campaigns ahead of the general election in November, the court said. We are confident that, in consultation with the Board of Elections, Supreme Court can swiftly develop a schedule to facilitate an August primary election, allowing time for the adoption of new constitutional maps, the dissemination of correct information of voters, the completion of the petitioning process in compliance with federal voting laws, including the Uniformed and Overseas Citizen Absentee Voting Act. Currently, Republicans are only 5 seats away from regaining a majority, which is why the Democrats are trying to gerrymander their way into the advantage. There are a couple of thoughts about it, comments on this article when I took a look at it this morning, and I want to share them. First, Diana, not at all surprised they got away with it once, so of course they'll do anything to get away with election fraud again. Carlos, exactly. More interesting, Joseph Arena. Nothing the Democrats do will surprise me anymore. In fact, I expect it. I was brought up to believe the Dems were for the working class and the poor people of this country. The sad thing is there are still a lot of people out there who believe that old teaching. Today's Dems only care about the power and could care less about the working class. They want total control, even if it means socialism. As long as they stay at the top of the food chain, their tactics will not stop until held accountable, which I don't see happening. There is too much money on their side. We all know that big money controls a lot of what's been happening in our country. It has gone beyond criminal to evil, and I'm afraid we could end up in World War III because of it. The people in this country better wake up before it's too late. We need to vote for politicians that will defend the Constitution, protect the country and its people. We cannot pick the people that lead our country like it's a Miss USA contest as to who looks the best or has the best Hollywood ties. Even the best polished speaker is not always the best person for the job. Think before you vote. Your family's life may depend upon it. Nice. Very good. Meanwhile, speaking of World War III, Putin warns the U.S. to back off in Ukraine. But is anybody listening? The Western narrative in the two-month-old war in Ukraine, imbued with the rhetoric of democracy versus autocracy, has dramatically changed with the assertion by our Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, who is, in my opinion, just grotesque in that position. He's completely unfit. At a news conference in Poland, following his and Secretary of State Blinken's trip to Kiev, that Washington wants to see Russia weaken. David Sanger at the New York Times noted Austin was acknowledging a transformation of the conflict from a battle over control of Ukraine to one that pits Washington more directly against Moscow. But this is not really a transformation. Sanger's colleague at the Washington Post, David Ignatius, had written over 3 months ago that the Biden admin was working on a roadmap to get Russia bogged down in Ukraine and attrition in a way that it becomes a much diminished power on the world stage. For the Kremlin, certainly, Austin's remarks could not have come as a surprise. As recently as Monday, President Putin repeated at a meeting in the Kremlin that the U.S. and its allies have sought to split Russian society and destroy Russia from within. Putin revisited the topic Wednesday, point out that the forces that have been historically pursuing a policy aimed at containing Russia just don't need such an independent and large country, even enormously large in their view. They believe that its very existence poses a threat to them, meaning the massive Russian nation. In fact, Several perceptive Western observers had estimated that the Kremlin has effectively fallen into a trap laid by the U.S. intended to bring down Putin's regime. Come to think of it, that famous gaffe on 26 March wasn't a gaffe at all when President Biden, speaking in Warsaw, blurted out the impromptu, unscripted remark, "For God's sake, this man, Putin, cannot remain in power." All the same, Austin's remark signifies a dramatic change taking place in the geopolitical situation, which could have either positive or negative results. Monday, Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov, he is by far the most experienced diplomat on the international scene for any nation whatsoever, warned the West that staying involved in the Russia-Ukraine war posed serious and real risks of a World War III, and that we, the West, the U.S., must not underestimate it. To be sure, the conflict is slowly but steadily turning into a new phase. Foreign fighters and soldiers from NATO regular units are increasingly beefing up the depleted Ukrainian army's front line. That said, the optics also need to be understood. Austin's war cry comes soon after Mariupol fell to the Russian forces. A couple of thousand Ukrainian nationalists and a few hundred military personnel from NATO countries are trapped in an underground labyrinth at the Azovstal complex in the city, which Russian forces have sealed off. It has been a severe blow to U.S. prestige. Meanwhile, our General Milley, who again is about as incompetent as Austin, declares, "Russia must pay for Ukraine aggression." Letting Moscow get away with its offensive in Ukraine would destroy the global international security order, Mark Milley insists. America's top general has declared that Russia can't be allowed to get away with its offensive in Ukraine cost-free, because allowing such aggression would end the global international security order established after World War II. If this is left to stand, there is no answer. If there is no answer to this aggression, if Russia gets away with this cost-free, then so goes the so-called international order. And if that happens, then we're entering into an era of seriously increased instability. And this guy is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, making these remarks Tuesday in an interview on CNN. Milley made his comments after a meeting of Western military leaders in Germany to discuss efforts to help Ukraine repel Russia's offensive. Earlier this month, he called the conflict the greatest threat to peace and security during his 42-year career, and said China and Russia seek to fundamentally change the rules-based current global order. Milley didn't explain whether in this rules-based international order the same set of rules apply to everybody equally. That is it symmetrical or asymmetrical? Thus, if Russia intervenes in Syria at the request of Damascus and the U.S.-UK enters Syria without Syrian or U.N. permission, he may believe that Moscow, not Washington, has broken the rules. Such an interpretation would run contrary to international law. On Tuesday, he argued Russia must be made to pay a price for its attack. What's at stake is a global international security order that was put in place in 1945. That international order has lasted 78 years. It's prevented great power war, and underlining the entire concept is the idea that large nations would not conduct military aggression against smaller nations, and that's exactly what happened here. An unprovoked military aggression by Russia against a smaller nation. Now stop, full stop. Unprovoked military aggression. Did he not even read Vladimir Putin's magisterial statement about why Russia was compelled to intervene into Ukraine on the 24th of February, which is even published on my blog? For God's sake, is this guy who's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff so ignorant that he does not understand the circumstances that have led Russia to intervene here? This is a disgrace. Milley didn't mention instances where the U.S. has acted against his point, such as in the illegal 2003 invasion of Iraq. U.S. Secretary of Defense Austin and Secretary of Defense Blinken traveled to Kiev Monday to meet with Ukrainian President Zelensky. After Tuesday's meeting with their allies in Germany, Austin said, Western nations would keep on moving heaven and earth to meet Ukraine's security requirements that would move at the speed of war to support Kiev, with high probability he's going to get what he wants. Referring to Ukrainian forces, Austin said, your resistance has brought inspiration to the free world, even greater resolve to NATO. Glory to Ukraine. Repeating part of the official slogan used by Ukrainian Nazi collaborators who allied with Hitler's Germany against the Soviet Union in World War II. But he's such a mental munchkin, he wouldn't know that. He's such an ignoramus. And this guy's a chairman of our Joint Chiefs of Staff. The Kremlin has since demanded Ukraine officially declare itself a neutral country and never join the NATO military bloc. Kiev insists the Russian offensive was completely unprovoked and denied claims it was planning to retake the two republics by force. Ironically, Russian leaders might agree with part of Milley's assessment that the global order may be altered. Moscow's military offensive in Ukraine aims to end the U.S.-dominated world order, Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov said earlier this month. Our special military operation is meant to put an end to the unabashed expansion of NATO and the unabashed drive toward full domination by the U.S. and its Western subjects on the world stage. Russia attacked the neighboring state in late February following Ukraine's failure to implement the terms of the Minsk Agreement, first signed in 2014, and Moscow's eventual recognition of the Donbass republics of Donetsk and Lugansk. The German and French brokered Minsk Protocol was designed to give the breakaway region special status within Ukraine. But more importantly, is Milley unaware that the West has violated the solemn agreements at the time of the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991, that the West would not encroach one inch to the east, would not militarize the new sovereign states? It's great.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, the enthusiasm for global thermonuclear war at the U.S. and its allies seems to be unqualified. Here we have NATO, and this is dated April 28th. April 28th, that would be yesterday. NATO says it's ready to back Ukraine against Russia for years. Jens Stoltenberg said part of the plan is to train Ukrainian forces on how to use NATO equipment. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said Thursday the Western military alliance is ready to back Ukraine in its war against Russia for years to come. We need to be prepared for the long term, she said in Brussels. There's absolutely the possibility this war will drag on and last for months and years. Stoltenberg said part of NATO's plan for long-term support includes training Ukraine to use Western military equipment as opposed to the Soviet disarmed arms Ukrainian forces use now. NATO allies are preparing to provide support over a long period of time and also help Ukraine to transit, move from old Soviet-era equipment to more modern NATO standard equipment and systems that will also require more training. The U.S. and its NATO allies have made it increasingly clear they don't think the war in Ukraine will be ending anytime soon. President Biden asked Congress for $33 billion in new aid, including $20.4 billion for military aid, and said the messy package begins a transition to long-term security assistance. Well, where the hell is the long-term security assistance for the American people? If these Democrats think no one is noticing that Biden cares more about the Ukrainian border than the U.S. border, they have their head where the sun doesn't shine. And I think once the American people understand the massiveness of the theft of the election, then they're not going to be enthusiastic about it happening again. In fact, I think they want to beat the Democrats to a pulp. This has been the most irresponsible, corrupt administration in American history, bar none. While pouring weapons into Ukraine and escalating sanctions on Russia, the U.S. and most NATO members don't appear interested in pursuing a diplomatic solution to end the fighting. That's why I say enthusiasm for war. Secretary of State Blinken, for example, hasn't even spoken with the Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov since February 15th. That, my friends, is called dereliction of duty. Last week, Turkish Foreign Minister Mevlüt Cavusoglu said some NATO members want the war in Ukraine to last longer to hurt Russia. There are countries within NATO who want the war to continue, he said. They want Russia to become weaker. And, of course, that's what we just got from our own Secretary of Defense. One of Washington's goals in Ukraine is to see a weakened Russia. Well, contrast that with what we're hearing from the other side. Putin personally threatens to nuke the West over Ukraine interference. Now, this is written by a Western news source, and I'm being negative about Putin, but this guy doesn't mince his words. If Putin says something, you can count on it. He's going to follow through. According to the author here, Putin appears to have a death wish. No, I think that's true of the West and the United States. But here's what he writes. Vladimir Putin appears to have a death wish, or at the very least, his worldview has turned fatalist, and he continues to triple dog dare the world over his failing invasion of Ukraine. Well, number one, it isn't failing, and he explained to the world why he was doing it. And if anyone is triple dog daring, it's the West and the United States, not Putin. He's a serious guy. For weeks now, Putin has suggested any direct interference by NATO or the West would result in something drastic and, according to him, despicable. Well, I think horrifying is the right word, but it's because we have provoked him to do it. Wednesday, those threats were reiterated and clarified. Speaking to lawmakers, he said, this is Vladimir Putin now, the only really serious statesman astride the world stage. Justin Trudeau, Joe Biden, Emmanuel Macron, Boris Johnson. These are nitwits. These are children. These are little kids throwing tantrums. There's not an adult in the crowd. Unbelievable. Speaking to lawmakers, Putin said, if someone intends to interfere in what is going on from the outside, they must know that constitutes an unacceptable strategic threat to Russia. They must know that our response to counterstrikes will be lightning fast, fast. We have all the weapons we need for this. No one else can brag about these weapons, and we won't brag about them, but we will use them. Now, I've reported many times, Russia has the best anti-missile missiles in the world. They have the best anti-ship missiles in the world. They have the best anti-submarine torpedoes in the world. And they appear to have now the best intercontinental ballistic missiles. And if someone's going to mess with Russia, they're making a colossal mistake. And it appears that the West is eager. You think Vladimir Putin doesn't know that a long, drawn-out, protracted war would be bad for Russia? For God's sake, you think he doesn't know what appears in the Western papers? You think his intel sources aren't at least as good, actually, I'm convinced, better than those of the West? Meanwhile, here's just a note of sensibility. The Swedish prime minister has rejected holding a referendum on potential NATO membership. On Thursday, Swedish prime minister Magdalena Andersson rejected the idea of holding a referendum on the country's potential NATO membership, calling it a bad idea. Andersson's comments were made in response to a call for a referendum from Sweden's opposition leftist party. This has to go back to the voters. There has to be very strong Democrat support in this question, left party leader Nooshi Dadgostar said earlier in the week. Andersson argues Sweden shouldn't vote on the issue since it's a matter of national security. I don't think it's an issue that's suitable for a referendum, she said. There's a lot of information about national security that is confidential. So there are important issues in such a referendum that cannot be discussed and important facts that cannot be put on the table. The majority of Swedish lawmakers, not the people, in my opinion, the lawmakers favor applying to NATO. Parliament is expected to recommend the move after concluding a security policy review. Finland is also considering joining the military alliance. These people are so stupid, they don't understand how much neutrality has benefited them. They are lining up for nuclear annihilation if they take these measures. This is just colossally irresponsible. Colossally irresponsible. Also on Thursday, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said the alliance would welcome the two countries if they decide to apply. Finland and Sweden will be warmly welcomed. I expect the process to go quickly. Stoltenberg said the two countries could expect some protection from NATO during the application process. He said there are ways to bridge that interim period in a way that's good enough and works for both Finland and Sweden. If the two Scandinavian countries enter NATO, it will greatly escalate tensions with Russia in the region. Finland shares an 800-mile border with Russia, which Russian officials say will need to be reinforced if Helsinki joins the alliance. Let me remind you about my point of the provocation of the West here. When the Soviet Union dissolved in 1991, there were 14 members of NATO. Today, there are 30. Where do you think all those 16 additional member states came from? Violating the solemn agreement that the West would not encroach one inch to the east. One inch to the east. And we're supposed to think that it's Putin is paranoid? Look at this. It's the West that's been encroaching. It's the West that's violating its agreement. It's the West that are the liars and the phonies and the fakes. It's the West who are the warmongers. And we, the people, are going to suffer the outcome. Mark my words. Meanwhile, Tucker's been doing so much good stuff. I want to share with you a recent monologue of his. The one show that I highly recommend everyone ought to watch. It's on Central Time from 7 to 8 p.m. It's Eastern 8 to 9. Here's what we have from one of the latest.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson tonight. When Elon Musk first announced that he was buying Twitter, it was pretty obvious the Democratic Party would soon become unhinged, not just angry or annoyed in the way you're very used to, but instead legitimately terrified and hysterical. Imagine how you'd feel if an armed intruder broke into your home at 3 in the morning. You couldn't exactly know where things were going, but you'd be dead certain that everything was at stake. That's how Democrats feel right now. Because, in fact, everything is at stake. Joe Biden cannot continue to control this country if you have free access to information. It's that simple. Biden certainly is not improving your life. He's not even trying to improve your life. So the best he can do is lie to you and demand that you believe it. But to do that, he needs to make certain that nobody else can talk. Because if you were to hear the truth, you might not obey. How is Biden going to pull that off? It's not easy. Well, one option would be to get men with guns to tell you to shut up. Most Americans probably haven't thought of that because this isn't Africa or Eastern Europe. This is America, and we don't do things like that here and never have. More precisely, we haven't until now. But now Joe Biden is president and everything is different. So today, to herald the coming of the new Soviet America, The administration announced its own Ministry of Truth. This will be called the Disinformation Governance Board. Laugh if you want, but just to show you they're not kidding around here, this board is not part of the State Department or any other agency focused on foreign threats from abroad. No. The Disinformation Governance Board is part of the Department of Homeland Security. DHS is a law enforcement agency designed to police the United States and that, by the way, has a famously large stockpile of ammunition. So it's not a joke at all. Here's DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
We have just established a Mis- and Disinformation Governance Board in the Department of Homeland Security to more effectively combat this threat, not only to election security, but to our homeland security.
Oh, so one of America's top law enforcement officers just announces to the Congress that actually we're going to be policing what you say, and everyone in the room kind of nods, oh, yeah, it's totally normal. But here's what he didn't say. So America's told us that disinformation is a threat to homeland security. Now, he's the head of the Department of Homeland Security, so presumably he would know, since assessing threats to homeland security is his job. But what he didn't tell us is how he's defining disinformation. So here you have this new and terrifying thing that the Biden administration is so concerned about that it's created a new agency to fight it, but Mayorkas never said or even hinted as to what it might be. So the man in charge of the Disinformation Governing Board never defined disinformation. It's almost unbelievable when you think about it. Would you declare war on a country you couldn't name? Would you sentence someone to death for a crime you couldn't describe? Of course you wouldn't, not if you were a sane and decent person. Because you can't have justice without precise definitions. That's why we have very large books of law that define what is allowed and what is not. But they're not defining the core concept at the heart of what is effectively a new law enforcement agency. Maybe that's because Mayorkas doesn't want justice, and neither does the president he serves. They want power, and to get power, they plan to control what you think. Watch Mayorkas explain.
We have so many different efforts underway to equip local communities to identify individuals who very well could be descending into violence by reason of ideologies of hate, false narratives, or other disinformation and misinformation propagated on social media and other platforms.
Oh, did you know that? So one of our biggest law enforcement agencies has men with guns around the country doing so many things to stop disinformation and false narratives. Those aren't even lies. They're just deviations from the approved script. Mayorkas told us, again, that men with guns plan to, quote, identify individuals who could be descending into violence, could be descending. Not people who've committed violence or even been accused of any crime at all. DHS is instead using law enforcement powers to identify and punish people who think the wrong things. That would be opponents of the Biden administration. Is this dystopian fiction? No, it's happening right in front of us. That means that Joe Biden's partisan political enemies are now officially enemies of the state. How is this happening in America? Good question, but it is happening. And Biden's new thought cop-in-chief has been revealed. She's a 33-year-old, highly self-confident young woman called Nina Jankowicz. Jankowicz comes from a place called the Wilson Center. That's a nonprofit named for America's other mentally incapacitated warmonger bigot president. Ironically, because everything is irony, the Wilson Center is itself a major producer of, yes, disinformation, but of the neocon variety, and for that reason is heavily funded by the Biden administration. Jankowicz is also, because everything is connected, a former advisor to the neoliberal government of Ukraine, the government we're shipping tens of billions of tax dollars to as our own economy swirls down the drain. So you really can't make any of this up. It's too grotesque. Would you believe a novel with this plot? No, you wouldn't. But it's happening, and that's the bad news. The good news is everyone involved in Joe Biden's new Ministry of Information is a buffoon. They may be evil, but they're also ridiculous. Nina Jankowicz is the most ridiculous of all. So you read about her appointment in the Washington Post this morning, and you immediately thought of the NKVD, because why wouldn't you? Yet even the NKVD, even at the height of Stalin's purges, never did karaoke. They were too dignified for that. But Nina Jankowicz happily does. Here she is.
Information laundering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet show. Disinformation's origins are slightly less atrocious. It's how you hide it and lie to lie. It's how you hide it and lie to lie. It's how you hide it and lie to lie. When Rudy Giuliani shared that intel from Ukraine, or when TikTok influencers say COVID can cause pain, they're laundering disinfo and we really should take note and not support their lies with our wallet, voice, or vote. Oh!
Since the point of the show, we're going to say we're kidding or making all of this up. It's not really happening in the country you were born in, but it is happening. That's now a law enforcement official. It's also the person you just saw, an individual who brags about getting a master's degree from Georgetown University. In case you're wondering if the entire academic credentialing machine that sustains America's ruling class is in fact a joke. Spoiler alert, yes, it is a joke. This is somebody with so few useful skills that she describes herself in the first words of her own bio as a, quote, internationally recognized expert on disinformation, as if that's a job of some sort. Imagine if one of your kids grew up to be an internationally recognized expert on disinformation. The shame you would feel. The pain of knowing that truly and unequivocally you had failed as a parent. After all those years of advanced education, Nina Jankowicz became an internationally recognized expert on disinformation. And not only that, she can't even rhyme very well. What Nina Jankowicz can do, her one skill, the purpose for which she was hired, is level partisan attacks on the other side with maximum ferocity. That is her real job. Now, you may have noticed, if you listen carefully to the ditty that she just sang, that every example of disinformation in her karaoke performance came from people who opposed Joe Biden's policies. Is that a coincidence? Probably not. In fact, we know it's not, because Nina Jankowicz is telling all the disinformation is on the other side of the political divide. Listen.
Most of the disinformation that we've seen, this highly emotionally manipulative content, is coming from the right. If you look at the top 10, you know, most engaged with posts on Facebook or Twitter on a given day, they are usually posts that are coming from the right. And that's because the right does deal in this highly emotional rhetoric.
You'd have to live in a self-awareness-free vacuum. You might even have to go to Georgetown University to utter a sentence like that. The right deals in this highly emotional rhetoric, says Nina Jankowicz. Now, it's worth noting here, because we can't resist, that this very same Nina Jankowicz once wrote an entire book about how women can't use the internet because it's just too upsetting for them. They're too fragile to read words they disagree with. It makes them faint. Here's a direct quote from Nina Jankowicz's book, quote, "To be a woman online is an inherently dangerous act." Keep in mind, if you're a lady and you were to, I don't know, order Uber Eats, you're exposing yourself to danger. This is the same woman, Nina Jankowicz, that's telling you that it's the right that uses emotional rhetoric. Now, to be fair, Nina Jankowicz probably didn't expect a lot of people to read that in her book because no one read her book. It has a total of 2 reviews on Amazon. But we did read it. We'll get in a moment to what we found because it tells you exactly what we can expect from our new Ministry of Truth under Nina Jankowicz. But first, it's necessary to know a little more about this person. Now, she's not simply a hypocrite. She obviously is, whether she knows it or not. She would be too dim to understand hypocrisy. What she really is, of course, is a heavy for the Democratic Party, and she's done that job flawlessly. Nina Jankowicz, the disinformation hunter, once called the Hunter Biden laptop story, which is entirely true, a, quote, Trump campaign product. In October of 2020, she wrote, quote, "Voters deserve the context, not a fairy tale about a laptop repair shop." Now, did she give us the context or any countervailing facts? Did she deliver the truth about the story? No, of course not. She just read a bunch of lies somebody handed to her on a card because she's a useful idiot. And now she's a law enforcement official. Nina Jankowicz is repeating a lie that was, of course, widespread on the eve of the presidential election. And when she repeated it, made it possible for Joe Biden to repeat it on the debate stage during a presidential debate. In case you've forgotten, here he is.
There are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant. They have said that this is has all the care. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage. Nobody believes it except his and his good friend, Rudy Giuliani.
You mean the laptop is now another Russia hoax?
That's exactly what
this is. Okay, just to be clear, this is a nightmare unfolding in slow motion, but this is the point where we're just going to have to draw the line. No, Joe Biden, you can't have a federally funded Ministry of Truth. And no, Nina Jankowicz can't run it. Period. It's not your country, you're not even Compass Menace, and you don't get to do this to a free people. Period. This can't happen. And what is this? Well, if you want to know what's going to happen, look at what just did happen. So Nina Jankowicz made it possible for a presidential candidate to lie from the debate stage about a story that may have changed the outcome of election. Our election, our presidential election, speaking of disinformation. She's never apologized for that. That's because her role has nothing to do with the truth or stopping disinformation. Her job is to restrict any speech that challenges Joe Biden or the Democratic Party. Now, you'd think that would be illegal in this country as a federal employee because we do have a First Amendment. But Nina Jankowicz doesn't believe in the First Amendment. As she wrote recently, quote, the free speech versus censorship framing is a false dichotomy. First of all, here's a pro tip. Anyone who uses the term false dichotomy is a moron, okay? That is one of countless academic phrases designed to prevent thought rather than facilitate it. False dichotomy means they're never going to have to explain why their position is correct or yours is wrong. It is dismissed with, oh, it's a false dichotomy. Again, that's an NPR phrase used by low IQ people who for some reason run our country all of a sudden. False dichotomy. Here's what's not false at all. Government censorship is banned by the First Amendment. The First Amendment to the Bill of Rights. This whole country is predicated on that. But according to Joe Biden's new Minister of Truth, the First Amendment no longer applies in this country because Russia and systemic racism. Watch.
It's clear that actors like Russia are using those internal fissures, things like our systemic racism here in the United States, things like economic inequality, to amplify these issues and really make us distrust the system.
So we reached out to DHS, the law enforcement agency now in charge of policing speech, about Nina Jankowicz and her plans to censor you from saying what you think is true. And they assured us that they weren't going to do that. They're going to focus on human smuggling and Russia propaganda on Ukraine. First of all, it's not their job to decide what you learn about the border or Russia or Ukraine. It's your job. You're an adult. You can read whatever you want. But of course, it's not about that anyway. If you read Jankowicz's book, which we did, you will realize very quickly she was hired to police domestic social media use, period. Quote, I have hope we can change the norms by which our online ecosystem is governed, she wrote in a typically illiterate sentence. This is what our colleges are producing. Morons who can't even write English. Later in the book, she encourages women to go to law enforcement if they see something online they don't like on Twitter. She called that, quote, an important step in the denormalization of women's treatment online. It's hard even to believe our system produces people like this. She's a real...
Tucker is so good. We'll be right back after this break.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Torture us and bomb us. Fire is kept. give. I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Let me just add that my writ for certiorari to be submitted to the United States Supreme Court is well along. We're in the actual final stages of tweaking it. I believe it'll be done tomorrow and submitted next week to the U.S. Supreme Court. And when that occurs, I will make it available to the public and share it with all of you on my blog, on the shows, and elsewhere, so you can see what this is all about. When I say it's for all the marbles, you'll see what I'm talking about here, because this is a critique of the judicial system of Wisconsin, but it's an exemplar for the rest of the state, where the circuit court, the appellate court, and the Supreme Court of Wisconsin have failed the people of Wisconsin. I, as a citizen and resident of Wisconsin, am entitled to due process under the law. I, as an American citizen, are entitled not to have the loss of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. The effort here to suppress the information that I and my colleagues discovered about Sandy Hook has been gargantuan. There has yet to be a single case in the United States that reached the question, did anybody die at Sandy Hook? The reason I engaged in this lawsuit by responding to a complaint that was absurd on its face was because I viewed it as an opportunity to get all the evidence we'd put together in the book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, first published in 2015, where I brought together 13 experts, including six PhDs, that the school had been closed by 2008, that there were no students or teachers there, and that it had been a two-day FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control, where we even found a FEMA manual, which I published as Appendix A. No wonder they had to ban the book. It blows the whole case apart. This was a Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Eric Holder operation. There is so much going on here. It is truly stunning story. And research continues unabated. Meanwhile, to return to this latest absurdity, Tucker Carlson, as I've said before, is the one show worth watching, and I thought that was a perfect example. There were a few more minutes, but you heard enough. The Biden administration, as antiwar.com is reporting, is coming under fire for forming this DHS disinformation board to which they've appointed this nitwit. The director previously advised the Ukrainian government. Surprise, surprise. Here's what Dave DeCamp has to say about it. The Biden administration has come under heavy criticism for creating a disinformation governance board that falls under the Department of Homeland Security. The board has been slammed as Orwellian, as it was formed to fight whatever the U.S. government considers to be disinformation. According to Politico, the board is meant to coordinate countering misinformation related to Homeland Security, focused specifically on irregular migration in Russia. In other words, if you're opposed to open borders, or if you think Russia is actually in the right, then you're spreading false information, and if you're doing it deliberately, then you are in the category of an agent of disinformation. This is total bullshit. This is a violation of our most fundamental rights as citizens of the United States to speak our own mind without fear of censorship or punishment. Just disgusting beyond belief. The camp continues. So far, the Biden administration hasn't put out much information on what exactly the board will do. When asked about it, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki didn't offer any details. I really haven't dug into this exactly. I mean, we, of course, support this effort, but let me see if I can get more specifics. President Biden appointed Nina Jakowicz as the head of the board, who previously worked as a disinformation fellow at the Wilson Center and advised the Ukrainian foreign minister as part of the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship, a program run by the State Department. She also oversaw Russian and Belarus programs at the National Democracy Institute, a U.S. government-funded NGO, virtually every one of which, by the way, I add, is a CIA entity, a CIA entity. So she's been part of the CIA, I would surmise, for quite some time. Jankowicz's appointment comes as the U.S. is significantly escalating its support for Ukraine in its fight against Russia. Part of the Biden admin campaign against Moscow includes information warfare. That means lying. Remember now, Barack Obama nullified the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 by the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, just in time to bring a Sandy Hook, which legalized, made legitimate all these phony staged events that we have at Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas. Obama made all that legal. He made it legal for the government to lie to the American people. That's the legacy of Barack Hussein Obama. He legalized government lying to the American people. It's enough to make you vomit. And so many people think this guy is a godsend, that he's some kind of world-class leader. He, too, Barack Obama, appears to be a creature of the CIA, whose tentacles are all-encompassing. The CIA regards itself as more powerful than the American government, and I'm sorry to say, that appears to be exactly how it is. Earlier this month, the camp continues, U.S. officials told NBC that Biden administration been putting out information related to Russia's war in Ukraine based on bad intelligence as part of an information war against Russian President Vladimir Putin as part of this effort. The Biden administration fed several stories to the press that were based on claims the U.S. had no evidence to back up, no doubt about mass murder and atrocities being committed. Meanwhile, here's more. Why is this information Czar's latest assault on free speech? I swear, this God, this woman, I mean, when she was singing her little ditty, she looked like a woman. In this photograph, she looks more like a man. I'm presuming she actually is biologically a woman. But I'm prepared to be shown wrong, just as we all know now that Michelle Obama is, of course, a man. And I hope anyone who still is enthusiastic about her recognizes the facts of the matter. I've documented them copiously. One place available to all is in a presentation I gave at my 2020 False Flags and Conspiracies Conference under the heading of Deception Galore. Deception Galore. If you go to my blog, jamesfetzer.org, check out False Flags and Conspiracy 2020. You'll find where you can actually download all of those presentations for free. Download Deception Galore. It will blow you away. Is Team Biden no longer even trying to avoid being a laughingstock? Why did Biden just appoint a champion of the Hunter Biden laptop cover-up to serve as chief of his new Ministry of Truth? Department of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas announced his agency has created a disinformation governance board given the Biden record. It's unclear whether the new board will be fighting or promulgating disinformation. Nina Jackowitz, the head of the new board, is a Bryn Mawr graduate who worked for the National Democratic Institute, which is heavily funded by the National Endowment for Democracy, which we know to be CIA, which spurred perennial controversy for interfering in foreign elections. That's how much we believe in democracy. The National Endowment for Democracy interferes in foreign elections, deprives foreign nations of democracy. That's what they're all about. In October of 2020, after the New York Post exposed damning email and other information in Biden's laptop, Jankowicz scoffed at the laptop controversy. We should view it as a Trump campaign product. It includes, of course, wonderful photographs of Hunter and cavorting with all signs of nubile young women whom I dare say, judging from what I've seen of some of the videos, the two erstwhile daughters of Barack and Michelle Obama, and we know biologically they can't be theirs because two men cannot have children. But, of course, Hunter would have got to know them. After all, his father, Joe, a.k.a. the big guy, was vice president under Barack. So obviously they would have socialized and become acquainted. Well, it appears they have become better acquainted since. During the final Trump-Biden debate, she tweeted, Biden notes 50 former NASSEC national security officials and 5 former CIA heads believe the laptop is a Russian influence. Not only was that not what they said it could be. They offered no proof to support that conclusion. And, of course, we know the Hunter laptop is real and is informing a possible criminal case against the first son. Jankowicz never complained when Twitter suppressed all links to the Post, the New York Post, which was blowing it apart before the 2020 election. But last week, when rumors circulated Elon Musk might buy Twitter, she fretted to on national public radio. I shudder to think about it if free speech absolutists are taking over more platforms. In other words, she's opposed to free speech. She's afraid free speech absolutists will let anyone say whatever they want. She's afraid of that. She's opposed to that. And this person is being put in charge of disinformation. I mean, grotesque. As Tucker was saying, you can't make this up. That line is a Rosetta Stone for understanding the new disinformation governance board. The goal is not truth, which could arise from the clash of competing opinions. Instead, political overlords need power to exert pressure and pull to shape Americans' beliefs by discrediting, if not totally suppressing, disapproved opinions. That's exactly what's going on here. As a great British philosopher of science, Sir Karl Popper, emphasized, rational debate is our most reliable method for discovering and sorting out the truth, for separating truth from fiction. But debate requires alternative sides, be able to engage in free and open discussion, present arguments, critique arguments, engage in debate. What's going on here is the opposite. It's a complete suppression of one side, one set of opinions to benefit the other, even if the other cannot withstand critical scrutiny, and especially when the other cannot withstand critical scrutiny. That's what they want to avoid. Thus, as Tucker was observing, if we get free and open debate, the Biden administration is going to be tattered and torn because the public will rip it apart. Rip it apart from stem to stern. Homeland Security, Hale Jankowicz, as an information warfare expert. But that honorific doesn't indicate which side of the barricade she'll take. Yes, I think she is an information at disseminating false information. That makes her an expert in disinformation. She's a propagator thereof. Will the new board condemn any articles that blame Biden instead of Putin for soaring inflation and ravaging average Americans? Will the board disparage any publication of new details of the bribes that Hunter Biden received from a tainted Ukrainian company, Burisma, while his father was vice president? Maybe Jankowicz has a soft spot for Hunter because she's been a Ukrainian government consultant. The new board is tasked to focus on irregular immigration as well as other topics. Will the board castigate any news report on crimes committed by illegal immigrants? Will the board leak damaging information, maybe acquired by wiretaps or other dubious means, on any reporter who embarrasses the Biden administration? Here's Hillary lending her two cents worth. This woman who's such a disgrace to humanity. For too long, tech platforms have amplified disinformation and extremism with no accountability. The EU is poised to do something about it. I urge our transatlantic allies to push the Digital Services Act across the finish line and bolster global democracy before it's too late. But none of this is about democracy. This is all about censorship. This is all about totalitarianism. This is all about political fascism. And believe me, when it comes to political fascism, Hillary Clinton is an expert. Biden's new board is part of a concerted liberal attack on free speech. The New York Times reslanted Obama last week as an apostle of the dangers of disinformation. In a recent Chicago speech, Obama called for putting in place a combination of regulatory measures and industry norms that notifies social media companies that there are certain practices you engage in we don't think are good for society. Trust Obama? When he was president, he practically demolished the Freedom of Information Act despite boasting of running the most transparent administration in history. Former Senator Hillary Clinton is hitting the same censorious theme she tweeted last week, just as I quoted. For too long, tech platforms have amplified disinformation, etc. Perhaps Hillary is seeking to safeguard the same lawless imperial prerogatives of rulers she practiced as Secretary of State when she scorned FOIA and kept her email secret prior to her aides using bleach bit to destroy laptops subpoenaed by Congress. That's a great devotee of justice and the rule of law we have in Hillary Clinton. Under a subpoena from Congress, she destroys her laptops using bleach bit and hammers. Disinformation is often simply the lag time between the pronouncement and the debunking of government falsehoods. In early 2003, for example, anyone who denied that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction was guilty of disinformation until after W's Iraq invasion found no weapons of mass destruction. For much of last year, anyone who disputed Biden's assertion that people who get vaccines won't get COVID was guilty of disinformation until the administration was forced to admit the president was wrong. is a new definition of disinformation anything that undermines trust in President Biden? That's a pretty close take. Meanwhile, Elon Musk reveals where he sits on the political spectrum. You might be surprised. Despite Elon Musk's stance on free speech, which has made liberals assume he's right-wing, Musk's political leanings aren't immediately apparent. In 2005, he gave $10,000 to a ballot initiative in California to raise taxes for free universal preschool. In recent years, he donated $500,000 to the liberal ACLU. He has donated to more Democrat politicians than he has Republican. With all this in mind, it would be safe to assume that Musk is liberal. If you were to believe that, however, you would be wrong. Today, Musk shared a meme criticizing the far-left turn that has made that the United States has taken over the last decade. The meme indicates that before liberals took a woke turn, he sided with them. As they continue to radicalize on social issues and turn away from supporting civil liberties, however, he now considers himself to be center-right. So he's got a diagram showing where Musk stood in relation to what has happened in the past and how really the party has left him rather than he leaving the party. And so same with me. I always regarded myself as a JFK, FDR liberal. I believe in the social safety network, including Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment insurance, workman's compensation programs that have actually made a difference to the American people. If it were not for Social Security, I would not be able to make ends meet myself. I mean, it's really appalling. And the very idea, you know, of not appreciating those programs is to me reprehensible because they have made a difference to the American people. But while I voted Democrat most of my life, when Donald Trump came on the scene, it was like a breath of fresh air. And particularly when he was pitted against this monster known as Hillary Clinton, that was an easy call. But it's become increasingly obvious in the woke era that the Democrat Party has gone full fascist over social issues. So I agree with Elon Musk. In recent weeks, Musk has shared other memes hinting at his rightward turn. In 2019, Joe Rogan did a podcast with a right-leaning podcaster, Tim Pool, Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, and the head of Twitter's legal counsel, Vijay Gadde. The four debated on Twitter if Twitter was biased toward the left. Ha, ha, ha. Musk recently shared a meme indicating that he agreed with Tim Pool and Joe Rogan. I mean, the bias has been massive. It's not subtle. It's obvious. It's blatant. In many ways, Elon Musk is becoming the Rockefeller of our time. He's invested in green energy, space travel, now trying his hand at social media with his acquisition of Twitter. Will the world's wealthiest and arguably most influential man continue to be pushed to the right because of the left's insanity? Let me add, he's all wrong about space travel. We're not going to be able to get to Mars. Even NASA admitted recently that the principal obstacle to a manned mission to Mars was a Van Allen radiation belt. It would require like 6 or 7 feet of lead, to protect astronauts from being dry roasted by the Van Allen radiation belt. And when he made that announcement, I don't think he quite realized he was implying that we had not gone to the moon either in 1969 and 70, that we could not, cannot go now. Because of the Van Allen radiation belt, we most certainly could not have gone then. And let me remind you, the Van Allen radiation belt ain't going away anytime soon. Just like me here on Revolution Radio. Well, the world's wealthiest, Well, you know, he may be, but it's the Rothschild, really, that are the wealthiest, overwhelmingly wealthier. I mean, their vast wealth is quantifiable in the trillions of dollars. Elon Musk doesn't own even $1 trillion. So really, this is deceptive because he's not the wealthiest man in the world, and certainly not the most influential. The Rothschild banking empire controls, by virtue of their central banks, most of the governments of the world. It owns lock, stock, and barrel the American mainstream media. It owns Reuters. It owns the Associated Press. Virtually every, I mean, I've mentioned this before. I have a panel of 100 journalists from CNN, 100 officials from CNN, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. I have another panel of 100 officials from CNN, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. I have another panel of 100 officials, executives from the New York Times, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. The Rothschild is the most powerful Jewish influential community in the world by far. Nothing comes close. Nothing comes close. Earlier today, conservative YouTuber Steven Crowder criticized the Biden regime for creating a misinformation board. In the tweet, he compared Biden to the Nazis. Musk, quote, tweeted Crowder and agreed with him, calling the decision discomforting. Steven Crowder, the government is creating a misinformation governance board. Who else said something like that? Oh, I remember the Nazis. And there's some data showing some interesting things going on post Elon Musk Twitter takeover. Elon Musk retweets an ad. Discomforting. Discomforting indeed. Meanwhile, we have the interesting phenomenon that Donald Trump himself is returning to social media with a cryptic message. It appears he's not coming back to Twitter, which in my opinion is a great mistake. But he's got this organization or this new entity called Truth Social, which Elon Musk described as a terrible name. And I think Musk has got it just right. Elon Musk tweeted, Truth Social is currently beating Twitter and TikTok on the Apple Store. Social Truth, oh, opposed to Twitter, opposed to Live in Pick, opposed to Be Real, opposed to TikTok. Social Truth, terrible name, exists because Twitter censored free speech. Meanwhile, I'm going to open the lines for callers for the final segment of the show. 540-352-4452. Mitchell, field your call. 540-352-4452. Call in and share your opinion with me.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Yeah.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we have a fairly frequent caller, Bruce from Texas, on the line. Bruce, give us your thoughts for today.
Hello, Jim. You sound great, as always, and you're hitting all the marks.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Start and I wish go for it.
I'll be really waiting to hear your presentation to the Supreme Court. That'll be quite a reason.
Yeah, you're gonna like it. It's a doozy, I'll tell you. Coming up soon. I'm working and finalizing it even as we speak.
Yes, I consider you the lion of the truth movement.
Well, I sure appreciate that. I think there are a lot of people who are doing what they can, and just as history has played out, I've been in a fortuitous set of circumstances. It had to do with my background in philosophy, logic, critical thinking, that, and my dedication to the truth about JFK that got me going in the first place, and I've simply never let up. So I think, that's how history is going to record it. The American people are entitled, my driving motive is the American people are entitled to know the truth about their own history.
Yes, and I'm sure you're well more educated to speak on this than I am, but I just want to say that, our Western society, the foundation was laid by philosophers such as Plato and Socrates and the Greek democracy and then through the Enlightenment, the idea of chivalry and truth and being honest, having integrity, that's our foundation. But they've been ripped apart by a group that uses, the exact opposite. And their manifesto is the Talmud, the Torah, and the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. If you read those documents or dip into them, you can see their playbook is way out in the open. And so this disinformation panel that Biden is forming, this czar, what's her name, Jankovic? It's hard that she will not reveal her heritage. I just did a search while you're talking. I couldn't find it. Every reference says, she will not reveal her heritage. But she did serve at the Wilson Center. The director for the last 10 years, now she's retired, but she's still involved, is former Representative Jane Harman of California. Do you remember that she had to resign because she was promising to go lenient or pull strings for two suspected Mossad agents that were embedded in AIPAC as part of a favor, as a quid pro quo for AIPAC to back some kind of a nomination. And so, you know, it's like a virus, or not, I'm going to say virus, that's a bad word to say, like a cancer. And it's reached all the way to the top. And I think this board, they're getting ready to steal the election again in the midterms and in 2024. And so they're just setting up their roadblocks to silence anyone who notices, you know. You want to comment?
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. What they're going to try to pull off, pretty bad.
We're in
shocking,
deep trouble,
but not surprising in many ways.
You remember in the novel 1984, Ingsoc is actually, you read the definition of what the goal was, it's exactly what's going on now, is to reinvent history to shape and mold the minds of the masses and to squash dissent.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're doing here. We're living through 1984 right now. And one more thing. Do you have any more callers?
Not stacked up. You're good.
I'm good. Okay, this Ukraine thing, it's very troubling to me. I mean, say as if Russia had invaded the Ukraine from one end to the other, like U.S. Korea. It would not affect the daily life of the ordinary American one iota if there was no response to it. So, in other words, our genuine national security is not linked to the fate of Ukraine. However, the globalist plan to break apart Russia is. It's a keystone. And I think that's one of the reasons why they cheated Trump out of office. And they had the whole plan ready to go, but they need to get him out of the way and insert back in. As soon as I heard the name Victoria Nuland was reappointed to the Department of State, I knew the trouble was brewing. I knew it the minute I heard. It just strikes me as odd that so many well-founded pundits and the Republican side didn't see it. I guess if you don't look, you're not going to find it. But I had an ugly feeling once I heard that name again.
Yes.
And that's when they started shouting the Donbass after Biden took office. It's been that they forced Putin into doing this. I think that's the plan all along. They wanted to do another war.
I think Putin's way too smart for these guys. The problem is they're so stupid, they can put them in the position of being annihilated by Putin and, you know, as it were, not even know what hit them. We're going to know what hit them, but the fact of the matter is they're not going to know what hit them. It's really, really serious, really, really bad.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, NATO is George Soros' army. You know, George Soros, all these leaders of these countries that are involved in NATO are somehow connected to the World Economic Forum, to all these think tanks, Bilderberg, and it's just the empire of corruption. And I hate to be rooting against my own country, but the way I see it, it's no longer my country. It's stolen.
Bruce, that's a very astute observation. I think that that's largely correct, that our country has dissolved into such a awful state that most of us do not even recognize. This is most certainly not the nation in which I grew up, where we actually did have a lot of freedom of speech and freedom of the press. I mean, the idea of books being banned, much less my own books being banned, is just absolutely stunning.
The 9/11 truth movement, I think when they started squashing that, and then they went after the deplatformed Andrew Yang's site, Daily Stormer, that was the beginning. And now they're going all the way through from one end to the other. and it's very frightening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's all I had there. I need to go.
Plus, but, that's all good. That's all good, Bruce. That's all good.
Oh, I hope the Scorpio and Giuseppe has you on as a guest there on our show.
Well, they
really like your
They've expressed a desire to invite me, and obviously I would be delighted. So, you know, we're good to go. We're good to go.
Okay. Yeah. Have a good day.
Thank you for calling, Bruce. Mm-hmm. Mitchell, in the absence of callers, I'd sure be glad to have your thoughts about the issues I've been discussing today. You are such a thoughtful guy. I value your opinion tremendously. Please join the conversation with me.
Well, hey, Jim, I hope y'all are doing great. Thanks for calling, Bruce. Well, we live in a world of subconscious slavery. And, you know, we need essentially a new bill of rights, a digital bill of rights, so to speak, that our minds can think freely and not be essentially brainwashed, coerced by algorithms. And we need to think freely. Without that, we don't have a nation or freedom or democracy or anything. We just live in a world where it's a social lobotomy, so to speak.
Yeah. I think that's the idea. I think the Democrats want to lobotomize the rest of the nation so we don't notice a tyranny to which they're subjecting us. But the situation is just grotesque. Mitchell, it is grotesque. I mean, my God. Unreal. Unreal.
Yeah, it really is. This Ministry of Truth, so to speak, deal. It usually is when dictators and particularly fascists take over. That's one of the first things they try to do. They have to establish speech control to establish mind control. And, you know, once you control speech, you pretty much control everything. Uh-oh, Paul's on the roll. Here, hang on. Let me bring him in.
Okay. All right.
There's Paul. Hopefully he's here. There he is. Hello, Paul. All right.
Thought I'd do my duty and call in since you had
me. Sure. Go ahead, Paul. Lay on.
I will tell you that my one of my more enjoyable lines of the show that I caught earlier, I didn't catch it all, but when you said that Hunter Biden and his laptop shenanigans were, he was his father Joe was vice president, so surely he would have been acquainted with the Obama's daughters, and now it appears he's become very much more well acquainted.
Become better acquainted, yeah, no doubt about it. Have you seen some of the videos? And I mean, they're cavorting with him in bed. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. And there was a little dog they'd been given as a gift, and the little dog was with them on the bed to make the identification.
So you saw some of the same stuff I did, yeah.
Paul, it's
recently.
It's just disgusting beyond belief.
Well, the thing that's, how should I say, I guess troubling, but this is the world that they want us to live in. And this is the world that they're trying to create here, as you know. I recently heard on, and I was actually going to ask you, Mitch, I tried to find out and I couldn't, on a Sunday, last Sunday, I believe, in Studio B at about 5 Pacific, there was a show. I looked on the schedule and it says basically it's open, so I don't know if there's any dedicated show. And I didn't know how to find it in the archives, but somebody played a whole bunch of a documentary now called The Groomers by Glenn Beck. I'm pretty sure that's the title, is The Groomers.
Okay.
And, they go over, what, you know, is exactly taking place with the schools, you know, the language that they're using, the things that they're teaching. And it's just, oh my God, Jim, if you were to hear, just some of this presentation in The Groomers, and what they're doing, and they're attempting to do to children and their minds, It's unbelievable. And it's so sickening and beyond criminal and evil, because these children, you know, at 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, I mean, they'll believe anything. I don't know what age I stopped believing in the tooth fairy, but, you know, I believed it, right? And so, you know, it's just, good God. I mean, when you saw some of the stuff I saw, and again, I didn't look at all the pictures but I read about them, but yeah, apparently Hunter Biden is, you know, there's no boundaries with these people. Okay. His dead brother's wife. Okay. Or widow, his dead
yes.
brother's daughter, which is his niece.
Yes.
I think also his cousin. I mean, this is just like the kind of debauchery that should have obviously been front page scandal and excluded anybody from even thinking about running for president. but they don't need him. They have a guy with a mask, or they have a double. So this is the world that we live in. It's just insane. And to think that elections or voting are going to make a difference, to me, I just think is crazy.
Well, I know no decent American would have accepted a family like the Bidens. They are corrupt from A to Z, and it's repulsive. They are repulsive. And the idea of having a president of the United States is repulsive. How does that reflect on, you know, the nation? But, of course, it was stolen. I mean, there's 2,000 mules. Tell me your thoughts about that, Paul. I think, the evidence there is simply overwhelming, jaw-dropping, mind-boggling, the extent to which they went to steal the election from Donald Trump.
Well, you said it yourself, not surprising. I mean, when you really think about it, that is such a key sentiment and phrase to express, is not surprising. You know, the stolen, I don't even know if you could even call it that. I mean, was it ever ours? Has it been ours in a very long time? I don't believe so. When you look at the things that have been covered on your show, and also Giuseppe and Scorpio have covered them about the background of many of these people, starting with Clinton, even starting before Clinton. I mean, just take a look. You go all the way back to Ford, who was on the Ward Commission. And who does he appoint as, you know, his vice president, is Nelson Rockefeller. I just don't believe that, you know, we could take any election seriously since probably JFK. And even then, it was pretty well known that, you know, his father had a hand in making sure that he won the state of Illinois by his connections with Mayor Daley in Chicago. So it's just a sad reality, and a lot of times I try not to think about it because, you know, we have to live our lives, but at the same time, like you, I'm kind of addicted to it. You know, you have to admit to yourself it's a little bit of an addiction.
Well, I know the stories, and I tend to believe that Joe had made some kind of agreement with Daley, but I haven't gone back to check the numbers. I think Jack would have won even without Illinois. But the fact that his father had made those agreements and that they affected the mob did not mean that Bobby or Jack were a party there too. And I think when you have books like Double Cross by nephew of Sam Giancana, who's wanting to take credit for the assassination as having been a mob hit, But the mob had no doubt at least one shooter, but it wasn't a mob hit. This was a major takedown by an elite group, including the CIA, because Jack had been threatening to shatter it into 1,000 pieces. The Joint Chiefs, they were upset with Jack because he had not invaded Cuba, contrary to the unanimous recommendation. He'd signed an above-ground test ban treaty with the Soviet Union. Contrary to their unanimous opposition, he was pulling all of our forces out of Vietnam, where they felt as stand had to be taken against international godless communism. The Texas oilmen, Jack was going to cut their oil depletion allowance. Israel was upset because Jack didn't want Israel to develop nuclear weapons. I mean, there were a whole lot of parties involved here in the assassination, where I've identified 6. I agree with Ole Domegaard's identification of a 7th, and there's an 8. Each of these groups appear to have put up their own shooter. But the idea that, you know, the mob did it out, that is the fallback story the government wants the American people to believe, that if it were not the lone the man and gunman, Lee Oswald, who turns out to have been standing in the doorway of the book depository when the JFK motorcade passed by, than it was the mob. I've had dinner with James Files, who claims to have fired the shot that hit Jack in the right temple and blew out his brain. Frank Sturgis appears to have actually taken that shot. The most interesting aspect of our conversation, and I like this guy tremendously. I just hit it off with James Files. I've got a poster right here. I could grab it with my hand, signed, "I Killed JFK," about Files. And I had to explain, after analyzing the ballistics where he was supposed to have fired the shot and all that, with a leading medical expert on the assassination, that the shot was not fired from the location he claimed. But what he said to me was, twice, once the government stakes out a position, it never changes. And I think that's right, that the government stakes out a position, which includes that there might have been a second shooter, and Files would claim to have been that second shooter. Yeah, go ahead, Paul. That was a rather extended answer to your question. Go for it.
Right. No, that's fine. I mean, that's one of the things that you do do best. you know, but I wanted to, because that point that you just made about once the government, sets up on a lie, it's stuck with it. I actually wanted to use that. And again, in the end, this is all just, shall we say, we're going through the exercise. And I'm sure, like a lot of people, I can only applaud you and support your efforts to do the right thing with your Supreme Court case. But, you know, that's exactly what you're facing here, Jim, is the Sandy Hook lie. And they're stuck with it. And there's no way that's ever going to unravel. And they're never
Paul, there are more objectives involved here than winning the Supreme Court. By submitting the writ, it becomes an object of study by law schools all over the country. The public recognizes that this is serious enough to carry it all the way to the Supreme Court. There are going to be a lot of benefits for the public becoming better informed. And if the judicial system will not deal with a case of this magnitude, where I'm basically accusing the government of lying to the American people, if the Supreme Court suppresses it, it's going to be shame on them. I mean, this is going to be a real litmus test, Paul, as to whether you're right or wrong. And I agree. The odds are you're right, but I'm hoping that you're wrong and that they will do the right thing.
Well, I mean, all I just offered there is my perspective on reality. There was no need to say but Paul, because again, I think we both know what the score is. I mean, we can just go back and look at, and again, the average American person, first of all, has no knowledge of any of these things. And you know that to be true. I had a discussion with our good friend Mona the other day on the phone, and she agreed with me. And I said, I would be shocked if any more than 20 or 25% of the American public, I'm talking about adults over the age of 21, for example, knew what Sandy Hook was or knew, you know, I mean, just, no. They don't keep up in current events. I would be shocked if it was anywhere near 30%.
Well, it depends what you mean. If you mean knew that it was a fraud, I think that's correct.
No.
But know about Sandy
knew
Hook.
About it at all.
Oh, Paul, I think the percentage is huge. It's been so propagandized, but it's been so effective. It's got such a massive publicity. I'd be very, very surprised if most Americans did not know about. By the way, Paul, Bruce is back. He wants to add a few more words. So, Bruce, go ahead. Add a few more words, Bruce, while you're here. Stick around, Paul. Bruce.
I got to be quick because there's a lot of background noise. I just sent you an email with a video of Michelle Obama. If you like, look at it, put it up for everybody to see. I don't know if you've seen it or not.
Oh, I see you have it here. Coming out with a beard, with a not having shaved lately.
No, not at the nightcap.
I'll look at it.
Okay.
Oh, you mean the package? Oh, the package. Basically, scratching her balls. Yeah, that's pretty good, Bruce. She's coming out scratching her balls. Yeah, I like that. I like that. That's good. Yeah, I'll make some use of that, Bruce. That's a nice add-on. Let me go back to Paul then, and thank you for that contribution, Bruce. That's good. That's a good one. Paul, go ahead. A few final words before we have to part today.
Yeah, well, just think about that, what just occurred there, okay? I mean, again, it's all real. I think we all who have looked at the evidence know it to be true. And the fact that we're talking about it on the air, this is what occurs when you allow Jews into your society and you allow them to have any positions of power or influence. They will drag you into the gutter. That's all this is. This is a street fight. They're dragging us into the gutter. There's no voting. There's no protesting. None of that matters. Okay, because they control every single institution. And the idea of free speech, you know, it's not dead. It's just that it's controlled by corporations masquerading.
Well, how do you feel about Musk taking control of Twitter? Do you think that's going to have beneficial effects or no?
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question. The PDF from Miles Mathis that I sent you, did you read any of it?
Oh, is this recent? You mean is Miles talking about
Musk? He wrote a paper on Elon Musk. I sent you the link along with a bunch of other people on my list. I sent you the link. I also sent you a 5-minute video by Greg Reese of the Reese Report.
Paul, it's not that I'm ignoring you. I'm preoccupied with this writ. You got to understand that. I'll look for it, but why don't you give us a short take? Give us a short take. You think Musk is a fake?
Of course. He's a total fraud. Okay. Giuseppe and Scorpio covered it when they were on with you. If you had just taken a look at a few pages, you would know. He's nothing more than what you see. Yeah.
Thank you, Paul. I always welcome having your opinion here. We're about to close. I just want to add a few words. We're on the verge of another weekend. I want to encourage everyone out there to spend as much time as they can with their family, their friends, the people they love. The provocation of the bear is serious. Putin may be required. He may feel of necessity to save the national security of Russia. He has to employ nukes. The West is doing nothing to forestall it. They're aggressively going after. I right now believe the prospect of a nuclear war is even greater than that we have the opportunity to die from starvation. But the food shortage is real. Mike Adams is warning about it. So I just say, look, use every precious moment with people you love and care about. Don't waste another second of your life not showing those you love that you appreciate them. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you on the other side.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle, live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, the perfect triangle with perfect Giuseppe triangle, perfect from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.